You're listening to the audio production of Pixels and Paint by Christiane Hunter. Read by Julie Rogers and Christopher Ragland.
To the God whose grace is made perfect in our imperfections. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. And for blessing one, thank you for changing my life. Your quirks are a gift. And to everyone who told me to go for it when I said I wanted to write both contemporary and Regency novels, thank you for believing in me. Chapter 1. Emma. A bag of peanut butter M&Ms is not worth the agony I will endure over the next hour as the sights before me burn through the backs of my eyes and imprint themselves in my brain. There is little doubt what my nightmares for the next few nights will consist of. I should have known I was in for torture when the bag my sister used to bribe me into coming tonight was the reclosable party size. She'd better be prepared to support me when I tell our mother that I'm counting this as next month's family artistic culture outing, even though it's only been 2 weeks since they made me sit through a presentation of Shakespeare's Cymbeline. That apparently wasn't enough of a mind-bender because tonight, a mere fortnight later, as the bard would say, I'm standing here looking at the most unexplainable painting. The Silent Wanderer by Ritchie Reynolds, according to the plaque on the wall, and a work of incomparable genius according to my twin sister. All I see is a cat in a dancing costume. I think. It's a little hard to say because the cat is not actually dancing. It is sitting completely still, staring off into space as cats so often do. Unlike a normal cat, however, this one seems to be wearing a swirly, dancing costume like the Romani wear in video games. Maybe it's dreaming of wearing one? While the cat itself is a rather lifelike rendering, the dress is, well, not. I squint, blink, turn my head to the side, step back, step closer, and still I can't find whatever is inspiring the awe of the people around me. Should I try standing on my head? If I lean enough to have a perpendicular view of the painting, will it make sense? Experience tells me no. It also tells me the other patrons wouldn't appreciate such an action. Although, if what they appreciate is a decent painting of a tabby marred by swirling smears of pink and yellow that vaguely resemble a skirt and crop top, my idea of appropriate might be off the mark. What is that? My twin sister's voice is a low hiss near my ear. I blink. Is it possible she thinks the painting is as weird as I do? Have I completely misread her earlier enthusiasm? If she brought me here so we could bond over not understanding the appeal of something in the art world, I'll send her a box of those expensive bonbons she treats herself with on special occasions. I think it's a cat. I grin at the person who looks as different from me as two sisters can look, despite entering the world a mere 7 minutes apart. Her gray-green eyes blink at me slowly from beneath a frame of animated princess-worthy blonde waves. Of course it's a cat. I wasn't referring to the painting. She points at my arm, before widening her eyes in horror once more. What is that? I hold up my arm and inspect the sleeve of the silky, clingy, uncomfortable blouse she considers ideal for events such as this one. Not a stain or a stray thread in sight. That shouldn't be a point of pride for a 27-year-old woman with a job and her own apartment, but life's full of little quirks like that. It's a blouse? At least that's what you labeled it in the lookbook. Every year, my sister, my mom, and my aunt gift me a styling adjustment for my birthday. They come in, clean out my closet, add a few trendy pieces or accessories, and leave behind a binder containing details for every ensemble, from shirt to shoes to makeup suggestions to coordinating earrings, all of it organized into neat, tabbed sections. I drop my arm and look down at the pants that looked like they were going to be exceptionally comfortable, but have enough fabric flowing down from the wide, fitted waistband to make two normal pairs of pants, a matching vest, and a pair of socks. This was behind the evening out tab, I say. She rolls her eyes. I know that, silly. I was the one who put it there. What I did not do was put that watch on the approved accessories list. My gaze drops back to my wrist where, yes, my smartwatch is fully visible beneath the cuff of the sleeve. I tilt my arm and the blank surface lights up with a generic black and silver analog clock. But I changed the band and the face. According to the dimly glowing watch, I've been in this art gallery for 8 minutes and 30 seconds. I'm already losing my mind and desperate to leave. This may be a new record. Amy frowns. You don't always use the black leather band? As what I normally attach to my watch is a comfortable, stretchy green nylon, I decide not to answer. She moves on with a quick shake of her head. Never mind. We placed an appropriate bracelet watch in your jewelry drawer. I frown. That watch face is perhaps a quarter the size of this one and doesn't light up, which is why it's appropriate for formal events. This isn't formal. I jet out my leg and the extra fabric drapes down. So far, I've only come close to tripping over the extra fabric twice, which I consider an achievement. If it was, you'd owe me far more than a bag of M&Ms. She rolls her eyes and crosses her arms over the fitted top of her sleek burgundy dress. Semi-formal, elegant, chic. It doesn't matter. I know I didn't include that watch for anything that wasn't work, lounging, or casual wear. Do you badger your other customers when they veer away from your prescribed plan? My mom and aunt own a popular fashion boutique in Benson, the same affluent Atlanta suburb the art gallery I am currently standing in caters to. My sister joined their team after design school and expanded their offerings to include styling services for everything from an event to a closet overhaul with an outfit suggestion binder. It's popular and expensive, and honestly, they should probably give me credit for the idea. Mom and Amy have been doing some variation of this service since I could put on my own pants. Amy gives one of those delicate, tinkly laughs that don't draw attention from outside her conversational circle and shakes her head, sending her blonde waves dancing around her shoulders. Those customers actually pay for our services and cherish the advice and guidelines we give. You, my ungrateful twin, don't seem to appreciate the value of your annual lookbook refresh. That's where she's wrong. I greatly appreciate the lookbook, because it means every time I see my family, I can be sure my outfit won't be one that leads to a fight at the dinner table. If they saw what I wear when they aren't around, and how my straight brown hair is normally piled into a sloppy bun, they'd disown me. Amy hooks her arm through mine, a frown puckering between her eyebrows. I think it's your job. While I am grateful to follow her away from the painting, I'd rather not journey down this path of conversation. I know where it leads. I clear my throat. My job is fine. Her free hand lifts to give my upper arm a comforting pat. Oh, I know it is. But it must be confining. Sitting in your apartment, putting together other people's ideas and designs, you're disconnected from the beauty of the big picture. She turns her frown my way again. I really wish you'd join us more than once a month. There are so many fabulous things to see in the city. Amy, you promised. College had been an eye-opening experience for me, and when I'd moved into an apartment 25 minutes away from the rest of my family after graduation, I knew I'd need boundaries to maintain my new freedom and life in addition to my family relationships. My compromise is one cultural outing a month, two of which can be formal over the course of the year, and a monthly dinner at Mom's house. Tonight's visit to the opening of a new exhibit at an art gallery falls outside those boundaries, and I am deeply regretting the breach.
I know,
Amy sighs. But wouldn't you be happier surrounded by the exciting buzz of actual creation? I can go into the office whenever I like.
Just remember that the boutique could always use a competent technology person. We have to hire services for everything from the website to social media scheduling. If you want a more fulfilling job, we'd bring all that in-house, and you could have a hand in some of the creative portions as well as the implementation.
Right. Because being the senior programmer at an award-winning immersive technology company couldn't possibly be a fulfilling career, at least not in my family's eyes. She squeezes my arm. Two short pulses and one long compression. It's been our code of support since we were children. Whether it was me reassuring her before a math test, or her letting me know she believed in my ability to walk across the stage at high school graduation and not forget to shake everyone's hand in my rush to get off, it has always been our gesture of solidarity. Time to preserve familial unity and redirect this conversation. So, why am I here? She gives my arm a tug.
Come see my favorite one.
Okay, that was a disturbing non-answer. How does she already have a favorite? Did she study the catalog before we came? I hope not. That would mean she's deliberately subjecting my eyeballs to this bizarreness. We trot past several people, all of whom are gazing at the paintings with varying degrees of rapture. If any of them are as skeptical of the art as I am, they don't show it. Hopefully, I'm not wearing my feelings on my face either. A lifetime of museums, theaters, and exhibits have done nothing to explain to me why anyone would want to truss up in clothing that can't be thrown in the washer and requires special undergarments, then stand around pretending they don't want to eat the available food. Add in the fact that the point of the evening is to find meaning in someone else's emotional unburdening, and my state of confusion is complete. We skirt around a small group of people chatting and pointing at a skeleton in what I think is a wedding gown. It looks like the ancient remains are being swallowed by a vortex of shredded tulle. Yes, I know what tulle is. I listened when my mother explained what was scratching the skin off my legs when I was 6.
Just wait.
Amy adjusts her grip so she can squeeze the blood out of my hand.
Tonight will unlock the secret understanding you need to get promoted to the design team.
As I already report directly to the owner and president of the company, who happens to be my best friend that I met in college, I don't think I can be promoted anywhere. And when did Amy start speaking of mystic unlockings? I scrunch up my nose and consider my sister. We have decidedly different views on spiritual matters, but this is new. Why are you talking like that?
You'll thank me when you understand the pull of artistic expression.
I'm not certain that's possible. We pass a realistic tree painted over with wild strokes that might be some form of deconstructed swing set, and I shudder. It's as if someone took the projects from an advanced art class and reused them during preschool craft time. Maybe Richie Reynolds is actually a daycare instead of a person. Amy meanders gracefully between the art lovers, and I trip along behind. I'm not a clumsy person, but someone else is driving my body, and they aren't using any turn signals. Also, these pants. I tuck my elbow in close to avoid knocking into a tiny plate of food one person is holding as they walk around. So there is food here. I'd been beginning to wonder. My head swivels to look around the room because once Amy finishes showing me this painting, the food is my next destination. The tiny portions at the fusion restaurant Aunt Jade selected tonight did not fill me up. There, along one wall of the gallery, is a table draped in a white cloth that reaches the floor. Artfully arranged trays of little bite-sized foods cover the top. Either some secret staff member is constantly replenishing the food, or it's barely been touched. Given that everyone I see is holding a champagne flute, but only 3 are holding plates, I'm going with the latter. Maybe I can spend the rest of the night by the table,
pretending to admire the nearby artwork while I scarf down whatever canapé is within reach. The painting above the food table is a field of corn covered by... is that meant to be a hamburger? Maybe a container of French fries? New plan. I can stack up a plate, maybe two, because those plates look tiny, and hide under the table while I eat them. No one would be the wiser. It's a nice dream, but I'll never do it. I don't have the skills to convince anyone I'm not just biding time until I can be anywhere but here if I were to get discovered. If my family knew how much I hated everything they love, it would break their hearts. We come to a stop in front of another painting, and I can't help but think that maybe bruising Amy's heart just a little wouldn't be so bad. I want to look away, but I can't. My eyes take in every stroke and line like a person watching a car crash in slow motion. Amy, however, is looking up at the wall, hand over her heart, as if she needs to hold the organ in place. The painting, inspiring such awe, is of the wall of a shed covered in garden tools and other farm supplies. At least, that's the part that's clearly identifiable through the strokes of green and yellow and black that I believe are meant to be a tractor. Should this be over with the fast food and corn painting?
"Don't you just love it?"
Amy breathes out. I shift my head in a tilting motion that she can take as a nod if she so chooses.
I am without words. Give it a moment before telling me how you feel. Let it sink in and resonate.
What is she wanting from me? Amy has never been in a tool shed. She faked a stomach bug rather than attend the agricultural field trip when we were in fourth grade. I'm not even certain she's seen the inside of a farmer's market. I've been to dozens of these art events in my life, though. Surely I've heard something in those hours that I can spout off now to make Amy happy. The artist really... I wave a hand toward the canvas. Has a lot of paints is not the correct answer here. Even I know that. Knows how to change styles. That must appease Amy, because she's all smiles and giddy giggles before hooking her arm with mine once more and pulling me toward a corner.
You have to meet him, she says breathlessly. He is amazing.
Ah, there's a him I have to meet. The artist, presumably. Like the job discussion, I know how this will go. Amy will introduce us, Mother or Aunt Jade will appear, and suddenly need Amy for some reason, and I will be left to make small talk with a stranger because my family is convinced I need to date more. But no, Amy is not wearing her crafty, determined to improve Emma's life expression. She's looking dreamy. I am no longer here to earn my peanut butter M&Ms. I am a younger sister, and I need to make sure this guy is worthy of the googly eyes my sister is making at him. We come to a stop in front of a lanky man dressed entirely too casually for this event in a gray V-neck t-shirt, dark jeans, and loafers. Amy drops my arm and snuggles up to his side, hugging the man's elbow.
Richie, Amy says, this is my sister, Emma.
I can do this. I know how to do the small talk thing. I have a system. Nice to meet you, Richie, I say, even though technically Amy never introduced him to me. Small talk question one. Ask about their career or hobby. I clear my throat. Have you been painting long?
A painter is born,
Richie says, averting his gaze to something over my left shoulder.
When he finds his brush, he is discovered.
Did somebody suddenly change the rules of small talk? I look to Amy, hoping to exchange that twin connection of confusion, but she is staring up at Richie in complete enthrallment. Then she turns her dreamy smile and dazed eyes toward me, and I fear she's looking for some form of revelation brought on by her man's extreme depth.
How true, she breathes out. I open and close my mouth. Nothing comes out. I have no words. There are no words. I gave up babysitting as a teenager because I couldn't handle conversing with toddlers, and they'd made more sense than Richie just did. God, a little divine inspiration would be great about now. Even if the man is spouting unfathomable proverbs, he's the first guy Amy has seen fit to introduce to the family in a couple of years. I have to support her, at least until I can confirm that I need to knock some sense into her. I refuse to be the first person to step away from this conversation. What Eddie said? Something about painters finding their brushes? I can work with that. How fortunate for us that you found yours. Amy sighs. Richie discovered his muse when his father left them. It is such a tragic story. He went to strike his father from the family portrait and discovered the beauty of abstract against refine. She giggles and hugs his arm tighter. Isn't he a genius? Richie shakes his head.
The viewer finds their own genius. The artist is merely the avenue to enlightenment.
I blink. Amy gives another slack-jawed, wide-eyed nod. A prickling sensation forms in the back of my head. Is this what it feels like when brain cells choose to shrivel up and die instead of attempting to process the bizarreness the world is feeding them? Everyone sees different, enlightenments from your work, then, huh? My laugh is cringe-inducingly awkward, but I soldier on. I guess that makes us all in this room alone together. I wish that statement was as nonsensical as Richie's had been, but I am all too aware of what it feels like to be surrounded by people and yet alone. One might say that's far closer to my default state than a sense of belonging. In this moment, I definitely feel like the odd man out as the appreciative murmurs continue behind me. If any shred of reasonableness is left in the world, at least half of them are faking it. If a green smear of a turtle over the shoes of a marathon runner means profound things in this world, then I want to get off. His gaze lifts to the corner of the ceiling, and his eyes seem to focus on nothing. Is he trying to look like some sort of otherworldly guru? Or does he truly think the secrets of life come to him in cryptic bombs delivered by trance state planes?
The exposure of the inner self is effective armor against the ridicule of the critic. One can only be truly known when the doors and windows are open.
I take that statement and twist it this way and that. Maybe it's a puzzle and I meant to rearrange the words. Was Yoda his elementary school English teacher? No matter how I look at it, his statement is utter rubbish. I am close to my family, my friends, and even my colleagues. But each of those groups needs different things from me. If I just put myself out there with everything on display at once, I wouldn't fit in with anyone. And that would hurt. Maybe people are like plug adapters. Some have one set of prongs and wiring that make them suitable for one type of plug. Other adapters have prongs to fit the plugs for different countries and the ability to carry different levels of current. God made me one of those adapters that have different prongs on each side, and you twist and turn it about depending on what sort of plug you need. It used to be confusing, but I've gotten it down to a decent routine now. Amy, however, nods along as if every word from this man's mouth is illuminating life enrichment. Yet she rolls her eyes when I mention church, God, or faith. The problem at this moment, though, is that I've allowed Richie's nonsense to throw me off my small talk script. I open my mouth to move on to question two by asking him how he's enjoying the event. Instead of my own voice, though, I hear Amy's. Oh! She releases her death grip on Richie's arm, the one attached to a hand he has yet to remove from his pocket, and points behind me. There's Greg! So this is an introduction and a setup.
No wonder Amy found it worth feeding my preference for something as unrefined as M&Ms. I'm not sure why my family persists. It's not like I never date. I went to the movies with a guy from church just last month. Or was it 2 months ago? No matter. The point is, I went. Just because no guy has attained boyfriend status since I was in college doesn't mean my life is lacking. For three people who have never been married and can, at best, be considered serial daters, they have an inordinate interest in the state of my love life.
Ahoy, Greg.
Richie slides a hand from his pocket to wave. Now he can be bothered to lift his arm. And who uses the word ahoy? Sailors have probably even given that one up. I don't turn to look at Greg, far more concerned about the couple in front of me. Are they truly together, or have they formed some sort of act for the benefit of the gallery showing? Theater was the one artistic endeavor Amy never excelled in, so I have to believe her sentiments are real. Richie's not selling anything I can buy, figuratively speaking. Literally, he's selling over a dozen paintings that I could drain my savings account to procure. But that's not the point. Greg is Richie's agent. Amy gives me her cartoon villain smile, the one that says she's got me right where she wants me. It looks a little strange with her wide eyes, delicate features, and bouncy cloud of hair. The man beside me, who I've yet to look at, says,
"Things are going well, Richie. The gallery tells me we've sold a third of the pieces already."
Richie sniffs, as if the sale of art is beneath his notice.
"The art finds its way. I release it to fate, and she gifts me in return."
I steal a glance at Greg, but he's nodding and humming in agreement. Is it possible my family is normal, and I am the one who is weird?
"Greg," Amy says with a smile diabetics should stay away from, "this is my sister, Emma."
I turn to the man beside me. It's not his fault Amy is insufferable. "Hi, Greg. How long have you been Richie's agent?"